Texans Weekly is brought to you in part by M&G Bank, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into another edition of Texans Weekly. I'm Patty Smith, and we've got a big show for you this week. A lot going on with the Houston Texans as we head into the final home game of the season against the Denver Broncos. Ben Tate is out, placed on IR with another cracked rib. He's out for the remainder of the season. Case Keenum also out for this game. Matt Schaub will get the start. Case has a thumb injury. We'll talk a little bit more with General Manager Rick Smith a little bit later on in the show. But first things first, we head out to the Verizon Wireless Show as we do each and every week following our Texans radio team where Devere Posey and Brandon Harris were standing by.
Let's have a little chat with these guys. Devere, first of all, you showed up on the injury report the other day with the ankle situation. What can you share with us about your situation?
Just one of those, you know, freak plays in football. You're blocking downfield and a guy gets rolled up on and you kind of hope that, you know, guys pull you out of the pile, but I guess, you know, it's just, you know, in the heat of battle and things happen, but I'll be all right.
Now, is it the same foot that you had worked on with the Achilles?
No, it's the opposite leg. It's really just like a high ankle sprain. I mean, we dealt with those before in this game. I mean, they come along, so you just got to just work through the tenderness.
All right, we have Brandon Harris and Devere Posey here, and, you know, their alma maters once met up in a national championship game. I'm not going to pit these guys against each other about that, but let's bring Brandon in here. So how do you think it's going for you overall here, Brandon, individually as you continue to work on your professional game?
Oh, I think it's going great. You know, being here in Houston, playing under Coach Wade's system is, you know, a great opportunity for me to grow and develop, especially at my position in defensive back. So we get opportunity to play a lot of man-to-man coverage and got a great room of guys like Jay Joe and Kareem and Bryce to learn from. Two-time Pro Bowler. You know, I don't think there's no other better person to learn from than him.
What about playing under Vance Joseph? All the players seem to really like him. How do you feel that you've progressed under him?
Oh, he's great, man. It's amazing the progression everybody goes through him, you know, along with myself. You know, you just see the improvements in your game and the confidence you play with from the time you get here and each offseason you get with him, you just get better and better.
He's DB coach, but now he was calling plays on defense on Sunday.
He did a great job, too. Thought he had a great game plan on Sunday. Thought he mixed the calls in very, very well. Kept Andrew Luck and the Colts' offense unbalanced, and we was able to keep them to a lot of field goal drives when, you know, sometimes they probably should have scored. But he did a great job of switching the calls up and putting us in the best position to make plays.
We always talk about this, how the O-linemen, they're the tightest group, or maybe it's the DBs. I see he's shaking his head. Yeah. So it's definitely the defensive back?
Oh, it's definitely the DBs for numerous reasons, you know, because we know we have to stick together because when it all hits the fan, it all falls back on us. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have each other back. I don't know how we'll survive in that room.
It seems like there's a certain personality you have to have to be a DB. You know, you guys seem to have a lot more personality out there. You got a good sense of humor. You're all pretty outspoken and loud. Is that just what a DB is?
That's just what a DB is. You know, DB has to have fun on the field. If you're not having fun, it's going to be some long Sundays. And, you know, you have to be able to laugh and shake things off at times also. You know, it's a tough job, but you have to be willing to deal with it.
And you guys want DJ to be that way, right?
Uh-huh.
Jumping around. I was watching him during warm-ups. I could not believe. I thought, save the energy for the game.
Nah.
He's jumping up and down.
He's
going
dancing.
Crazy.
He's jumping.
We want DJ to be DJ. That's why they drafted him here. He was doing the same thing in South Carolina, making plays, flying around, having fun. And they brought him here to bring that energy to the whole team. Running around, flying around, yelling. You always hear DJ.
Brandon Harris and Devere Posey with us at Verizon Texans Players Show. Devere, wide receivers as a group. So we talk about the old linemen being tight, the DBs being tight. Mm-hmm. What about the wide receivers now? It's kind of a different area.
I can't say this year has been a lot different in like reference to last year as far as like how close we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's we got the big dog, and then outside of that, we got the most experience is 2 years, you know, as far as in our group. So everybody's around the same age, and we like to say we keep Andre young, keeping, you know, hang out with him. We go out to eat, and we might go, you know, watch the game on Monday sometime. So I don't know. We grab food together, but I can say that we are getting closer as a group, you know, this year compared to last year.
Now, what about practice last week under Wade Phillips and the way he changed it? Brandon, what did you think of some of those changes?
Oh, you know, it's pretty good. You know, Wade wanted to keep everybody fresh and he wanted to keep the practices fun. So, you know, he tried to incorporate a different method in the way we go about practice. And, you know, try to make it a more team atmosphere than just offense, defense. So he tried to do whatever he had to do to get both groups mixing and mingling together on the practice field and assimilate the game as much as possible.
What do you think about it?
I like it. I mean, the thing that he does that's different is the offense goes first. So it just kind of keeps you, you know, alert and just always can't really relax on the field. And I kind of like that change. I mean, it's good for us. And plus it helps the defense out because they got guys going back and forth too. And they ain't got as many guys as we have. So I don't know. I like it. I like how he switched some things up. And it's good to always, you know, keep things fresh.
Go
ahead.
I was going to ask Brandon how involved you are in special teams practice because that was noticeably different to me last
week. Oh, yeah. I'm involved to the max. You know, I'm on pretty much every special teams. And I think it did a great job of allowing us to learn our responsibilities. You know, special teams is played during the game. So Coach Wade, rather than just having a separate special teams practice, he just mixed it on up with the normal practice. And that was pretty good for us. And everybody knowing what they're doing, knowing their assignments, and knowing when they're supposed to be on the field. So that was pretty cool.
And Coach Ligashevsky, I'm sorry, Mark, keep cutting you off. Coach Ligashevsky, that's his first time, you know, running practice as a special teams coordinator. Yeah. He's really loud out there.
Oh, Coach
Liga
is an energizer bunny. He don't stop yelling. He's one of them coaches. He's gonna get his point across regardless. Yeah. Sometimes he may get on your nerves, but he's gonna get that point across.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll visit with General Manager Rick Smith. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, as always, General Manager Rick Smith, who hasn't been with us in the last couple of weeks. Glad to have you back on the show where you belong.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, because we haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks, we haven't got your reaction or talked to you about the release of Gary Kubiak, and I know you and Gary are very close. You've been together for 18 years. I watched you sitting up there at that press conference, and I know that was a difficult time for you.
Very difficult. Very difficult for me personally, difficult for our organization. We obviously haven't performed the way that we feel like we're capable of performing, nor is it acceptable to us, to our fans, you know, to the organization, and so we had to make a difficult decision. You know, Gary's a great man. I've got a lot of respect for him as a football coach and as a friend, and so I know that he will bounce back. But we as an organization have to move forward now, and obviously we're in the middle of a search for a new head coach, and I'm confident that we'll be able to find a leader that will guide us back to you know, the winning ways that we're used to.
Well, and I'm not asking you by any stretch to give us names or infringe on your search at all, but Mr. McNair made it very clear what some of those parameters were as far as experience, as far as what you were looking for. Can you kind of, from the GM standpoint, tell us how that search, how you go about that search, what you're kind of looking for, maybe some time frames, kind of what you can tell us about it?
Well, you know, obviously the first thing that you need to do, Patty, in any kind of situation like this is identify what exactly you're looking for. What are the traits and characteristics that we think are important in the role of head coach? How does he fit within the culture that we have established here? And then, you know, his football acumen, all the things that you look for, you know, traits that we think are necessary to be a successful head coach. And so we've identified those things and we're working through that process. And then, you know, there's a universe of candidates, whether they have, you know, a certain skill set or a certain level of experience at the NFL level versus the collegiate level. And so all of those things, and some of those things, like you mentioned, you know, Mr. McNair has highlighted. But there are a many number of things that we're looking for and a vast array of candidates that are out there that can do a good job.
Do you have a timetable set up for when you'd like to have this done by?
Well, we want to, for me, what's more important than necessarily setting out a particular time schedule is to make sure that we get the right hire. And so that's the most important thing. And so, you know, over the next several weeks, we'll start to work on that. And when we find the right guy, we'll make the hire.
And as far as, you know, just expanding that a little bit, you're looking for the right guy as a head coach in this organization or the way you see it. Does that guy then fill out his staff? Is that something that you kind of have ideas from a coordinator standpoint? Is it a mutual thing? How do you envision that playing out?
Well, you know, those things are always talked about in the interview process. Certain coaches have, you know, certain men that have worked with them, you know, over time. And so a lot of times you will have a situation where a guy will know exactly who he wants to bring in the staff. You know, we always, you know, we think we've got some good coaches on this staff currently. And so, you know, we'll talk to a guy about interviewing the current staff and to see if there's any retention that might be available. And so all those things are fluid. Those things are negotiable. Those are the things that we talk about, you know, in the interview process.
How much of a I don't know what the right word is, but as you're looking at the draft, and clearly you're going to have a very high draft pick, if not the number one draft pick, how much will this coach be who you choose, what his skill sets are, whether it's maybe someone who needs to develop a quarterback, or depending on how you see yourself going in the draft, will that coincide with the coach you choose?
No, it doesn't. They're two totally separate you know, issues. You know, we've got to get the right head coach to lead our organization, and once we do that and fill out the staff, then we turn our attention to the draft.
All right, a couple moves this week. Ben Tate put on IR. He's going to be out because of another cracked rib. We've got another quarterback change again. Just kind of fill us in on what's been going on throughout the week.
Yeah, unfortunately, Ben did an amazing job, you know, in the sense that he played for so many weeks, you know, with the cracked ribs. We found out that he had another cracked rib on the same side. I think had it been on the other side, he may have continued to play, but you know, just for his health and his future, just felt like it was better to shut him down. And so, obviously, we put him on injured reserve, brought back Jonathan Grimes, who we had before, and, you know, did a nice job for us before. And so he's back. And then the other move, obviously, Case, you know, hurt his thumb last week when he was sacked. And so was able to finish the football game, but, you know, came in this week and it's been swollen and it's weak. And so he can't grip the football. And so we felt like it's best for us to splint that thumb for him to try to see if we can get him back a week from now. So Matt will play this weekend.
So Matt will play. Do you feel like you got a good sense and saw what you needed to see from Case?
I think we've got a good body of work from him. Obviously, he hadn't performed up to the ability, you know, the capabilities that I think that he even expects. And so he's a young quarterback. Young quarterbacks, you know, have a huge learning curve. And so he certainly, I think, has gotten better and better for the experience.
Now, I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but because it's the last time I get to talk to you, I'm trying to cram it all in here in one little segment. But preparing for the draft, at what point does that process start? You and I have talked so many times, and you every day you tell me, I'm always evaluating players. But at what point does that really become a priority for you?
Well, it becomes a priority after the season and after we hire our head coach. You know, normally once the season ends, you know, I am, you know, obviously there are bowl games and all-star games that I will be attending, trying to see as many players live that I haven't seen already from the games that I've been to over the course of the fall. I have been, you know, already into film evaluation and study for many of the top prospects. And so, you know, our scouts are out there. They have our, you know, our grades are in from our college scouts. And so we actually will meet in a few weeks to set our board. And, you know, the combine, it's pretty quick. It shows up in February, early February. And so we'll move right into that process, you know, shortly after the season's over and after we have a hire.
All right, well, because this show is called Texans Weekly, let's talk about the game of the week that's at hand. The Denver Broncos, of course, you are very familiar with. Peyton Manning coming in. Just from your perspective, what are you sort of looking for in this game?
Well, you know, obviously they're a very talented football team. I mean, this team is averaging almost 40 points a game, and they're on pace to set numerous offensive records, Peyton individually and the Bronco offense as a team. And so it's a tremendous challenge. I thought Vance Joseph did a nice job in his transition last week to calling plays. He's going to have his hands full this week with that group because they're so efficient on offense. And so, you know, we've got to play fundamentally sound football. And if we do so and protect the ball and not turn it over, and if we don't do some of the things that we've been doing lately that hurt us, then we have a chance to go win the football game and end this season here at home at least on a positive note.
All right. Well, great stuff. I appreciate it. We appreciate you being with us each and every week throughout the season, and hopefully we can do it again next year. All right. We'll take another time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll hear what the players and coaches have to say about this week's game.
I feel comfortable with every quarterback we have.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. The Denver Broncos coming to Reliance Stadium this weekend, and the Houston Texans are getting ready for that matchup, and here's what they're saying this week.
Case has a his right thumb has some ligament problem that he has to be in a splint all week, so he will not be able to play this week either. So Matt will be starting at quarterback, and, you know, our team's 100% behind him. I know our fans, our real fans are going to be cheering for our team and also for him because, you know, he's had a rough year like all of us, but he's determined to come out and play well, and we're going to support him.
And that's what we do every week, good, bad, or indifferent. You got to go out there and prove yourself and go out and cut it loose. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and getting in the huddle.
I feel comfortable with every quarterback we have. I think Matt will go out and do a great job for us this week. So, you know, I know he's excited about it. So, you know, look good out in practice today.
All right, one final timeout here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll head out to the Houston Texans Grill and check in with Antonio Smith. Stay with us.
Texans Weekly has been brought to you in part by M&G Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Time now to make our weekly visit out to the Houston Texans Grill and check in with Antonio Smith.
All right, it's time to get to the segment of the show. We do this every week with Antonio. It's presented by the Microsoft Surface Tablet. I have one right here at Houston Texans Grill, and I highly recommend this device. But we have questions ready for Antonio. We do this every week with players, sometimes media members. This week, it's a surprise person or persons asking the questions. Let's hear the first one, shall we?
This is the ninja. Antonio, I have a question for you. Who will you create once the ninja is gone?
All right. It's the ninja asking Antonio a question.
Why does that sound so corny now? Okay.
You don't know anything about that. So yes. Who will you create once the ninja has gone?
That has yet to be discovered.
Well, I think you have a lot of creations.
Yes, I do. I do. I'm thinking, I'm leaning going towards like an all-wise ninja, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe transform from ninja to an honorable samurai.
Or how about a sensei? Right?
Yes.
You know, once you retire from... Do ninjas ever really retire, or do they sort of go off into the sunset and become senseis or, you know, wise men who advise, counsel?
They never really retire, you know, in the movies.
Okay.
Yeah, they never really
They usually
retire.
Just die, or what is the deal here?
They seek out death. A good death is what they call it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so... They love to the thrill of the battle.
Let's get to the next question on Ask Antonio.
This is Antonio Smith, Tony Sardamas, and I was wondering, do you predict that you will have this show next year?
Ooh. That's a tremendous question.
That's a great question.
I know the answer to that question.
We didn't even have to ask it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So, what does Tony Sardamas say about this show next year? What do the fans say about having this show next year? They want it, okay?
Yes.
They want it. What does Tone Stradamus say?
Tone Stradamus, what would he say? Let me go find him somewhere. I actually thought about bringing the costume.
Oh, with the eyebrows?
Yes, the eyebrows.
The eyebrows make the costume.
The eyebrows would have made it.
It's like wearing sheepdogs above your eyes.
Caterpillars.
He said sheepdog. I just caught that. Sorry, I was late. Right over the head.
Of course, that would necessitate signing a contract.
Yeah, that's the exact reason why I asked it. Yes.
While you're thinking about that, you know what I worry about?
What?
Is that he's so tremendous that he's going to ditch us and just go solo. He'll just have Tone Stradamus and Ninja hosting a show.
He can interview himself and everything.
There is no fun in interviewing yourself. I just tried it, and it was like,
was it
no.
I thought this was a sign of things to come.
Yes. It was no spontaneousness in it. It's just like, okay, ask myself what I want.
Next question for Ask Antonio.
This is Tom Smith, Ninja. You know, I was just wondering, what are you going to do this offseason to hone in your ninja skills, you know?
I love the acting. So
I had to talk about that before, but then it kind of slipped my mind. So now I got to get the ninja voice back. I got to find it. Yeah, but
to hone in your ninja skills.
I didn't know they needed honing.
I thought they were
sharp.
You must always train.
Honing, okay.
Yes.
You must always hone.
No training equals defeat.
What are you doing today, honey? Honing. Okay.
Honing in.
Great stuff as always, and that's all the time we have for this week's show. Be sure to tune in on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Texans Countdown Live as we are counting you down live to the big matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. We leave you now with a little something different, our original interview with General Manager Rick Smith.
4, 3. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. I am your segment host, Rick Smith. I am here joined with Patty Smith. Welcome back, Patty. It's nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Those guys, Devere and Brandon, they just do a great job out there this weekend, huh?
Yes, they really stepped up. It's good to see. Unfortunately, with Devere's high ankle sprain, I don't know if we'll see him out there on the field. But, yeah, one of my favorite players out there.
Well, this is the last segment of the year that I will be joining the program, and so Patty and I decided that we would switch gears and I would do a little bit of the interview process with her. And so we feel like the viewers out in TV land want to know a little bit more about you, Patty. So let's talk about you and your family. Are you ready for Christmas?
I am ready for Christmas. My oldest daughter is home from Arkansas. Good to have her home.
This was her first year in school, correct?
This is her second year in school, but her first year at Arkansas. She transferred from Texas State.
Got it. Did she enjoy the process there?
She loved it, 4.0.
Understandable. I know your standards are so very high. So, obviously, at this point in the season, Patty, with the number of games that we've lost, it's pretty tough to cover the team. So, how difficult has it been on you to be so close to the football team and to experience the season as it's progressed?
Well, as you know, Mr. Smith, everything is easier when the team is winning, and it's always a little bit more difficult when they're not. But, you know, this staff that's been compiled by the GM and the coaching staff, they're a great bunch of guys, and they know that we have a job to do. And they I knew that he couldn't go any further, so we will continue. I told him we could do this as long as he could go. That's clearly as long as he could go. So now we will pick it up and go the way it is supposed to be.
All right.
Let's backtrack a couple of weeks, of course.